Welcome back, everybody. This is our third session in the marriage seminar. Good communication builds unity in our marriages. So we want to learn to have effective communication. Can we get an amen for that?
Yes.
Intimacy and trust require effective communication. You must learn to hear each other's experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires. We need to tell each other what we are thinking and feeling. And we need to also learn to communicate, to express things like affirmation or approval. When Ingrid and I did the exercise on, you know, like knowing each other, I checked off affirmation because I know she really likes affirmation. But she said, actually, approval, the next one down, was more important to her because it has to be verbalized. And one of the things I learned about myself when I got married was I think things without communicating them. So I can think something positive about Ingrid, but if I don't verbalize it, she doesn't know that I'm thinking it. So she can think like, gee, Dave might be feeling like I'm a lousy wife, and I think she's a great wife. So it's up to me to verbalize what I'm thinking. So especially if you have positive thoughts, affirmation, it needs to be communicated. So I asked this question, are you comfortable sharing your true feelings? And if not so much the feelings, it's your true response to what happened, what's going on in your mind, how you're, you know, feeling towards each other. We often grow up with hindrances. One, you might have been taught to hide your feelings. Or, you know, in the marriage course, it's, you know, started in London. So they go, yeah, the Brits, it's like keep a stiff upper lip. You know, there's certain things you don't talk about. A bigger one, I think, for most of us is we have fears of what other people will think if they discover the real you, like what I'm really like. If you knew how bad I was, it's like you wouldn't want to be married to me anymore, or you'll think less of me. We worry if I say something, it will upset the other person. That's big, right? I can remember when the first time we did the marriage course in Alpha, they have a big exercise right at the beginning where you rate your marriage, and they've got like 20 different things that you rate from 1 to 5. And you start going through it, and all of a sudden I'm looking at, okay, I'm going to show Ingrid what I'm rating. So if I think something's a 2, that's going to upset her. So maybe I better put like a 3, or if, you know what I mean? You just start thinking like I can't really be honest because it's going to upset the other person. That's very real for us. So we have to address that, look each other in the eye and say, you know what? I love you. You can tell me what you're thinking. And I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to condemn you. We're going to have a relationship that's built on being truthful and honest with each other. We're afraid of being misunderstood. How many of you can relate to that? It's like, oh. So these are all things that we have to overcome, and we can overcome. The most important aspect in good communication, I think, is learning to listen. I found this great quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The first service that one owes to others in fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as the love of God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. That's beautiful. Seek to understand your spouse first rather than to be understood. There's a famous prayer, the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, grant me that I may seek not so much to be understood, but to understand. That's a great prayer. I wish I'd have thought to actually print it out on your sheet, because all the things that he says are that idea of putting others first. We all want to be understood, so listening is an important way to love each other. Wives especially want their husbands to understand how they feel. And we were joking earlier, not all guys, but most guys aren't that in tune with their feelings, or it's just not that important to them. We just press on with work or play or what we're doing. So that's something that we have to pay attention to and actively invest in. Let's look at listening from the perspective of avoid bad habits. Bad habit number 1, jumping in and reassuring. How many of you guys have ever said to your wife, you don't need to feel that way? I do it to Ingrid. Even after 36 years, sometimes I find myself saying, sweetie, you don't need to worry about that. But is that effective?
No.
Why?
Because she feels that way.
It's kind of negating how she's feeling.
And
so even though
she might be concerned that you don't understand.
Right. So I feel like, oh, I'm helping things, but actually I'm not. Giving advice. We jump in and give advice. Well, that's not what the person's looking for. Men especially want to fix things so their wives feel better. So that's another thing that we have to work on. I mean, I was given this advice by Dave Zealy, who married us 36 years ago. Don't try and, you know, make everything better. Don't try and fix things. Even though I know it, I've taught it, I've preached it. By nature, I tend to do that. So I have to consciously make the effort to say, whoops, no, I need to, just bite my tongue, be quiet, and listen. Interrupting. I love this statistic. The average person only listens for 17 seconds before interrupting. That's terrible. So we need to learn to listen, to just wait. And we're going to have some more principles for effective listening. Look the other person in the eye. Not be like, you know, if your wife's trying to talk to you and you check your text messages, that's not good. You know?
Amen.
One reason I don't like going to restaurants is because there's so many television screens everywhere now. There's like, you know, 25 screens. So I'm trying to talk to my wife, but there's a game on behind her.
Chili's.
You know, so I don't like that because I find myself being distracted. I don't really want to be distracted, but by nature, I'm kind of interested in the game. And so I have to actively, like, in fact, I try and position myself sometimes like, okay, no, I'll sit here because we went out to actually talk to each other. Principles for effective listening. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a couple of the bad habits. Going off on a tangent. We can all do that. The above responses hinder the speaker from saying everything they need to say. So our goal should be to let the other person fully express what's on their heart. We need to wait until we have listened before coming in with our contribution. So can we all agree to that? Okay, good. Yes.
Going off on a tangent also includes the, oh, that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So as if a person is sharing a feeling, mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, I had that feeling once, or oh, that happened to me. You think you're being sympathetic, but you've kind of stolen the microphone, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't have to just be another issue, but the fact that
you just
made it about you instead of about the person that was talking.
Okay, very good. True. Stay focused on the person who's sharing.
We, the moms group, read Emotionally Healthy Spirituality in the fall. Fascinating book. And one of the things it said in it was that emotionally immature people feel uncomfortable checking assumptions, so they make assumptions and keep them because they're afraid of rocking the boat or putting tension in the relationship. Mm. But if you have a healthy relationship, you can check your assumption and provide clear communication.
Mm.
So to say, can I just check an assumption? I'm assuming that you did that because you didn't want to help, when really they did that because they didn't have time or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great point.
So to ask someone, would you mind if I checked an assumption? Because some of the things we get angry about, we actually internalize their motives without giving them a chance to share what their motives were.
That's an excellent point. Thank you.
And it might help some people to have you share your story, but for others it might not be as helpful. So you could even ask them, would it help you? I'm assuming that you would like to hear a shared experience, but they may not want to.
I can also give an example here. Back up my wife's point, brilliantly stated, which is, one of the things is Betsy will say, don't you see I need help? And I'll be like, honestly, you did see it. Like, so she thinks I don't want to help, so she's getting frustrated when I ask, so her assumption is he doesn't want to help. Actually, I'd be glad to help. I'm not always good at noticing the help that's needed.
So right.
That's just an example.
No, excellent.
Saying, sorry, I hadn't put the assumption to that.
Do you want to say something?
I have learned that I have to communicate when I need the help.
Just be specific.
Because he would not know otherwise.
Very good.
Specifically in what I need help with.
That's an excellent example. I think all of us have felt that way. So am I the only one who, like, you know, is taking care of this or whatever? And we have an assumption
that, they don't want to help.
That nobody else wants to help. All right, good. Let's move on to principles for effective listening. And I got this, again, from the marriage course. This is really good. One, pay attention and do not interrupt. So we got to go way more than 17 seconds. All right, you might have to wait 5, 10, 17 minutes. You know what I mean? You just have to let people share. And I added this, learn to shut off thinking about what you want to say. Most of us have a problem that when someone's sharing, we have something, well, I want to say. And so what we're doing is we're thinking about what we want to say. We're not really listening to the other person. That's really annoying. So I know sometimes I do it. A friend of mine confronted me one time about it. He goes, Dave, I feel like you're like, you know, and I'm like, oh, you're right. You know, I was really embarrassed. But I was thinking about, you know, something, you know, else I wanted to get in. And so it's very important. You're preferring someone. You're demonstrating love by paying attention to them. Like Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, that's what love does. Shut off what you want to say. Two, put yourself in your partner's shoes. Try to appreciate and feel what they feel. We all respond to things differently. So it's not a right or wrong issue. It's a matter of we're all different. And so love means that we learn to appreciate that someone else responds to something in a different way. So what doesn't bother me might upset Ingrid. Well, that's not wrong of her to be upset. So and again, we tend to judge other people like, well, why are you upset about that? Well, that's just the way they're made, or that's because of what they grew up with, they have a habit of that upsets them. So we have to learn to accept other people for who they are and listen. Number three, I put this in bold. Acknowledge their feelings by reflecting back what they said. Reflecting back means that you summarize what the other person said. So what you're saying is this. And then the person can say, you've got it. Or the person say, no, you're missing the whole point. And then you have to start over again because you're not getting it. Because our goal is to what?
Understand
and get what the other person is thinking or feeling or needs to communicate. Reflecting back can feel awkward or a little artificial, but it's very helpful. It really does work. David.
Can I just say, we do pre-marriage this, but this is what has helped our marriage the most by far.
Excellent.
It can feel awkward at first and even still feels awkward at times, just saying, okay, what I hear you saying is, but it actually does legitimately work.
And I use it with employees. I use it with my children. The problem is it takes time. We had to have like a 20-minute conversation about how people feel when you lock doors. So the family, some kids lock doors, some kids don't lock doors. Everybody got to say, and then we had someone else reflective listening. So Abigail said, when a door is locked, Nathan had to say. Abby feels like when the door is locked, blah, 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 blah. Then it was Ayana's turn. Ayana
wow.
got to say
you
how
guys
she
are
felt.
Doing a great job.
It took forever. I did not get to solutions. And the funniest part of all was we never got to solutions and everybody went to bed so happy. Nobody cared. They just wanted to be understood. So we said we're going to revisit it in a week and we'll do solutions next week. But nobody cared.
Well, that's great. If you can get your kids to understand that at an early age, that's really a wonderful benefit. Okay. So Ingrid and I got into an argument just a few weeks ago, and it got kind of intense. And the next day when we talked about it, kind of debriefing about it, we realized neither of us was kind of listening to the other person. Like, I was really upset about something, and then that upset Ingrid in a totally different way. So I'm saying, like, why aren't you, like, upset about this? And she was like, well, you know, I'm upset about this. And we just kind of kept going across purposes for whatever, 20 minutes. And then we apologized, but we hadn't really figured it out. And that's how it works sometimes. You have to sometimes talk about something the next day. You get further. Sometimes you just have to bring everything down and say, hey, we love each other. We're having a disagreement. Let's drop it. You know, and even just pray together. Just say, Lord, you know, we love each other. You affirm each other. But you have to talk about it again another time to kind of sort out what, you know, what really happened. Like, why were we upset? A lot of times the next day you're like, yeah, I was kind of being stupid. You know, I was being proud or I was being defensive or whatever it is. Back to effective listening. Number four, find out what is most important by asking, what's the most important part of what you've been saying? So again, you're giving the other person an opportunity to kind of sum up. And then you, again, reflect back to make sure like, oh, so what you're saying is this. Last point, help determine what she might do or he might do by asking, is there anything you would like me or us to do about what you've said? So instead of like jumping in, I tend to jump in with some like suggestions at the end. But if I would just ask like, oh, is there something that you want us to do or do you want me to do? Then again, that gives the other person a chance to say, well, if you did this, it would help me so much. Or sometimes people say, like Betsy was describing, no, I just need to get it off my chest. There's not really, a solution is not necessary. It's just getting that burden off, communicated, and realizing the other person still loves you and values you is very important. So what we're going to do, are there any questions?
David. Do you want us to demonstrate it? It's really, if you haven't done before, it's helpful to watch someone do it. It's what they do on the course. Well,
okay. We could.
Betsy and I will do it if you want. Only if you want.
Do it.
Okay, sure. Comment. Can you do it in like 2 minutes, though?
Sure.
Because we're going to make everybody do it with each other.
It won't hurt my feelings.
I'll do the one that we were talking about, but we didn't really have time to talk
okay,
about.
Ready, okay.
Why don't you come right over here and hold this microphone.
Thanks so much.
This is spur of the moment.
Get ready.
These people are ready in season and out of season.
All right, so I've been thinking about something that's been bothering me a little bit in our family life.
Okay.
And that issue is that sometimes I feel like you only communicate critical things about what the kids are failing to do and don't as often communicate things that you're encouraged by about what the children are doing. And that makes me feel upset sometimes because I feel like the kids aren't being affirmed and getting the encouragement we need. And I think also I sometimes take it personally because I feel like you're criticizing me by criticizing the kids because I feel responsible for them and help training them and bringing them up. And so that gets me to feel frustrated with our home life.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is, even if I might notice nice things about the kids, I tend to only point out the things I want them to be growing in, and I'm critical, and I say those out loud. And you don't like that because you think it makes it, you didn't use this word, but like a toxic environment. And you personally feel corrected when I correct them because they're your kids, and you would like me to point out some of their good things too. Is there anything else?
Yes.
I know that you feel positive things about the kids, so it's not that I don't think you feel positive things about the kids. I just like if we focused more on the positive rather than the negative.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is you know that there's some nice things that I notice, I just don't say them out loud, and you would like me to focus on the positive more than the negative. Is there anything else?
No.
Okay. And it sounds like you already have an idea, but is there anything that you want me to do about this? Oh, what's the most important thing you're trying to communicate?
Let's speak more positive things about our kids.
Okay. So the most important thing is to speak positive. And what is there anything you would like me to do about this immediately?
No, I think it's just something we could work on together.
Okay.
Creating that environment.
Okay. Sounds great. I'll work.
Notice, for those of you, it's not on video, but audio, one of the most key things in the exercise is that whoever is holding, you get an object in your hand. They had the little small mic. But they tell you that it's important to have, I would say maybe not a sharp object, an object so that the person holding the object is speaking and doesn't relinquish it until they feel done.
Right.
And that avoids the interrupting. It's a physical way of avoiding the interrupting. You cannot talk unless you're holding the object.
And you'll also notice that I never got to defend myself. I never got to say anything about what I think about this, right? So if it bothered me, once we were done talking about how David felt, then we could talk about how I felt about what he just said. Well, that was his turn.
Amen.
You guys are excellent communicators.
We've
This one with the you practice it. That's very good. So Ingrid brought up, and this is what we're going to do now, is like take 10 minutes or more. And you're going to pick something. And here's the, it's all written out, but I'll go over the first part. Each of you pick an issue currently upsetting you or bothering you that you have not previously discussed. See if you can think of something. So we don't want there's something that's been like a previous disagreement. Just think, is there something I just haven't talked to you about that I want to talk to you about? It can be work, kids, how you're feeling about each other, right? The speaker should hold, they encourage you a handkerchief, or you can hold, like Ingrid says, you shouldn't hold a pen or a pencil, but you know, you can hold the pen. And that just is to mean like, you have the floor, you're speaking, and the other person has to listen until you're done. Does that make sense? It's just a physical reminder. The speaker tells the listener about the issue, how he or she feels. The listener listens and then does what? Reflects back. Then the listener asks, what's the most important aspect of what you're saying? The speaker responds, and the listener again reflects back, summarizing. And finally, is there anything you would like us, me, to do about what you've just said? And then there's even a final, is there anything else you want to say? That's probably how I would say it. Like, are you done yet? Okay. So the real me is coming out right now. Like, okay, how long are we going to talk about this? But that's part of loving each other. So we're going to take this time, practice effective listening.